Last month, Jacqueline Bonomo, president and CEO of the statewide environmental nonprofit Penn Future, announced she was retiring. Bonomo's held the position since 2017 and has worked in environmental advocacy for 37 years through a number of presidential administrations and through many changes in policy and the public's perspectives on the environment. I recently got a chance to talk with Jacqueline Bonomo about her career and the issues that have been important to her. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Kara.
How did you get started in environmental advocacy?
A long time ago, after living out west for a while, I came back to my hometown. And by that time, I was quite a nature enthusiast and spent a lot of time at a place called Nescopeck Creek in southern Luzerne County here in Pennsylvania. And I found out after creating a real attachment to this place that it was actually going to be flooded out. The state was going to build a dam and flood out the valley and create a state park with flat water recreation. And I had gained such an appreciation for the biodiversity in that place that I felt pretty strongly that it shouldn't be put underwater. And so I got involved as a Sierra Club volunteer and basically started the fight against creating a dam flooding Nescopeck Creek.
How did that turn out?
Turned out well. We were able to prevail, and we were able to save just some really beautiful bottomland forest and free-flowing, high-quality stream, which was really important because, you know, so much of our water in the anthracite region has been degraded by coal mining, that every bit of clean fresh water that we have really needed to be protected, as well as the stream side and in-stream habitat that went along with that.
What are some of the other environmental successes that you've seen over your career?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot. I would maybe talk a little bit about some of the work done here in Pennsylvania. And it was really gratifying to have been part of the creation of the state's Growing Greener program, which over the course of many years now and hundreds of millions of dollars has gone really far to protect a lot of important land, ecologically, scenic, and recreationally important land for enjoyment for the people of Pennsylvania forever. That money also has been able to do a lot of water quality restoration work, again, all over the state. You know, the organization that I was involved with at the time, the Western Pennsylvania Conservancy, also was able to do a lot of really tangible work on land protection. And so the 17,000 acres that we were able to protect out in Western Pennsylvania during my time there feels like a really tangible outcome, particularly as it relates to conservation here in Pennsylvania.
Could you mention some of the national successes that you've seen, you know, over the course of the last three decades, almost four decades?
Yeah, no, the national work has always been a bright spot in my career. I like to think of myself as having had a seat at the table around some really important policy wins. So, for example, early on, we were able to reauthorize the Federal Clean Air Act. It was really the first time that sulfur and other climate polluting emissions were regulated. And it was really the first time that the act started, for example, to talk about alternative energy sources. I was around when Chesapeake Bay got sort of coined this notion of being a twilight estuary. We thought that we were seeing like the death of the bay, and really was around when the nation kind of rallied around the bay and since has rallied around so many other important estuaries. And then the other piece of work that was, you know, really, really profound for me was when I was with the National Wildlife Federation and I went out to the Pacific Northwest and became the senior staff person during the height of what was the spotted owl controversy, the fight over our ancient forests. And so, you know, really did the work and the litigation and the planning that ultimately ended up in President Clinton's forest plan, protecting what is remaining of, you know, the oldest growth forests in the United States and the myriad of species, some of them endangered, that go along with them, such as we mentioned the owl, but of course the salmon. Having lived through that and seeing a good outcome, you know, felt pretty historic.
You got your start in the 1980s. What have been the major changes in the environmental movement since the early days of your career?
In the mid-80s through around 98, I was working at the national level, and while environmental regulation was, you know, always a little unpopular, particularly among regulated entities, there was a lot more common ground, I felt, among the general public, among environmentalists, conservationists, hunters, anglers, that really created a movement that was able to do a lot of really important things in the air and water space. And unfortunately, that really broad-based coalition is not as robust today as it has been. And of course, a lot of that has been fueled by the partisan divide in the country. It's really slowed down a lot of forward momentum. And consequently, you know, here in Pennsylvania in particular, we spend a lot of time and energy appropriately defending today those environmental victories that were so hard fought and won back in the late 70s and the 80s. Victories in terms of addressing impacts from mining, for example, on our lands and water. And it's been a fight to keep both those programs that were protecting those resources and, frankly, the agencies that are charged with protecting those resources funded and able to do their job. And that's just because there is an anti-environmental sentiment in certain corners of the legislature and corners of the legislature that control the pocketbooks. And so we spend a lot of time on defense.
How do you see that evolving or changing, or do you?
Well, I think first and foremost that if there is any chance for the planet, particularly from a climate perspective, and frankly, a better chance for building the economy of Pennsylvania, we've just got to grapple with our dependence on fossil fuels. And there's been a lot of important work done recently in terms of accelerating that transition. But we really need to start seeing commensurate investments in renewables along the lines of the taxpayer help that, for example, the fossil fuel industry gets. You know, it's my sincere hope that a state like Pennsylvania, with land resources and water resources that are so beloved, like not only by people that visit our state as tourists coming here for outdoor recreation, but the many, many Pennsylvanians who still, you know, love to paddle and love to angle and love to hunt and paddleboard and kayak will come to the defense of the environment and build those bridges. And of course, we've got to spend a little bit of time acknowledging how important it's going to continue to be to elevate the voices of communities that for so long have been overburdened by pollution impacts, largely our marginalized communities of color in proximity to, you know, to so many industrial facilities that have exacted really negative tolls on both the well-being of those communities from not only a fabric of a community perspective, but from a public health perspective as well.
Working in the environmental space for, you know, 37 years, I imagine it can feel sometimes like things aren't improving, maybe improving quickly enough. How do you deal with what can be discouraging work?
Well, you know, I feel so fortunate to have been able to find work in something that was, you know, largely a passion and avocation. And, you know, that privilege has, you know, fueled my tenacity. And then the time that I have been able to spend in nature, you know, you understand how important nature is to our well-being and that it's worth defending. And so that, you know, fuels my energy and my commitment. And I guess it's probably fair to say that even though after 37 years of doing this work, I'm stepping down from my professional involvement, but kind of like once an advocate, always an advocate. You know, you don't leave that behind. And so I'm going to continue to do my part, whatever that might look like once I'm off payrolls, let's put it that way.
Well, I wish you the best, and thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Kara, thank you so much again for having me, and keep up the good work.
Jackie Bonomo is president and CEO of Penn Future until she officially retires in July. You're listening to The Allegheny Front. I'm Kara Holsapple.